talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It is a getaway Friday, Friday, October the 14th, 2022, 16 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you here on the Exchange Club, joined in studio by Linda Sims for another Friday Current Events Spectacular, which can be heard on the website WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH on any smart television, smartphone, tablet, whatever device you have. You will be able to find us, and you can also find us on Facebook Live. So go to Facebook Live and you can see what's going on in the studio. Well, here we are, Linda, for another big Friday. And of course, I do want to remind people, Voice of a People can be heard on this station every Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. until 12 noon.
Yes.
So who is in the barrel for next week?
Oh, good question. I do have the Homeless to Home coming on the 20th.
Homeless, which is the cat shelter.
The cat shelter. They will be on the 20th. Yes.
Now, we got a message here already on Facebook Live from an Annette Johnson.
Okay.
She's saying, hello, my beautiful friend, to Linda here.
Oh, I'm live. No wonder
yes.
She's saying hello. Hello, Annette. How are you?
Annette out there watching. We thank her for watching along with anybody else. And you can put comments in the comment section.
Yes.
And we will read those as we travel down the road. The airwave road here on...
Are we walking?
Walking, running, a combination of both.
That's my walking buddy.
Oh, that's your walking buddy. Now, how often do you walk?
Well, we try to walk at least twice a week.
Twice a week?
Sometimes three times. We walk inside the mall.
Oh, okay.
And we try to do 2 miles in there.
Now, what's left inside the mall?
Well, you know, Bath and Body Works is moving out.
Bath and Body Works
now.
Gone.
Yes. They have that...
Out by Kohl's, right?
Yeah, out by Kohl's. They have that axe-throwing place out there. They have the costume place, you know, like Dark Radar and all those people. They're out there. There's a small clothing place out there for men and women and children. And there's going to be art classes out there. This one lady has set up a shop out there, and it looks like it's going to be interesting. I consider taking art lessons.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Annette said she's great, she misses you, and you look great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So very nice, Annette, out there in Facebook land. Now, let's see. Has the mall outlived its usefulness, do you think, with Bath and Body Works leaving and going out to Kohl's?
I don't know what's going to happen to it after that. I really do not.
Is the movie theater still open?
It's still open.
Do they still show up-to-date movies in there?
Yes, they do.
But do a lot of people go?
You know, I remember during, I think it was COVID, they were going to shut that down. And they had them open it back up. They do not want that closed. I guess a lot of young school-age children go there on the weekend, and all summer they were out there. 12:30, they would be out there watching movies.
Is the nail salon still open?
Yes.
So that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And Dollar General, which is not really, you know, inside the mall, but on the outside, they're still there. Joann Fabrics, they're still there also.
Can you get into Joann Fabrics from the inside of the mall?
No.
Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm. They have bars up there now. There was a time when you could get in that way, but they have bars up now.
Bar? Now, mm-hmm. they didn't just pull down the screen.
And it could be, but it still looked like bars.
That's a shame. Wonder why they did that.
I don't know. You know, they had what you would call your small appliance store out there, Sears, I think, at one time.
I remember that.
And people were rolling up in Sears and stealing stuff. When the guy would be at the back of the building, they'd come in the front and just would steal stuff. And I think one time they beat him up pretty bad.
Well, didn't they have a mall security guard at one point?
I think they still do, where he
is. Now, what is he keeping track of at this point?
I don't know.
Making sure they don't steal the plants?
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, just roll up to the door and just open up their car and steal stuff.
Is there any place to eat in there?
No. Well, they have a coffee shop.
Oh, they do have a coffee
shop.
They
have a coffee shop now.
Are people in there?
Sometimes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they have that.
They sell the coffee beans.
Well, they, yeah. I don't know. Is the whole mall open? Can you walk the whole mall?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many times do you have to go around the mall to get 2 miles?
Well, she calculated 3 laps on the inside.
3 laps on the inside
mm-hmm.
give you 2 miles.
1 mile.
Oh, 1 mile.
So we do 6 laps.
Well, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's probably right. 3 laps would be a mile.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So, now how long do you think it takes you to walk a mile?
About 20 minutes.
Because I always think, like, a mile from here to... It's probably a mile from here. 2 miles from here to the mall?
Probably.
So it would take how long to walk there? About 40 minutes?
20.
20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
well,
not...
2 miles, well, 40.
40.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be too bad, I guess, in the grand scheme of things.
That's true, and you might be able to make it shorter than that sometimes.
Well, it's an interesting... Now, you and I were talking... Well, we want to mention the fruitcake toss.
Oh, yes.
The big fruitcake toss is coming up on Thursday, December the 8th at 7:15 p.m. here at this station. So far, we've got the Buckeye Guy, we've got Pastor Whitaker, and we've got Fruitcake Lily involved in this, and it's going to be a big event, to be sure. If you'd like to nominate somebody, give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. But remember, it is your responsibility to get the person to the fruitcake toss. It is not our responsibility to get them there, because chances are we will not be calling everybody who's in the fruitcake toss. So you've got to make sure that they know they need to be here for that particular event, and we hope a lot of people show up. It was a lot of fun last year.
Yes,
and
it was. It was a blast.
You know, it's one of those things that just happened, and you didn't expect it to be as big as it was, but it turned into a fun, fun night.
Yes, it did. Along with the Marion Star reporting.
Yeah, front page of the... Two days later, I'm looking at the front page of the Marion Star,
right.
And there we all are, tossing fruitcakes.
Yes.
Who would have thunk it?
That was added plus.
An added plus, absolutely. So if you want to now Sarah is on her lunch, I believe. She always tells me, I think at 12:30 she goes to lunch or something. So hopefully she's got some nominations that we can start putting people down for the fruitcake toss. And anybody else, by the way, can nominate people. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we'll get them in the old fruitcake toss.
Anyone you think has a good arm on them.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you, it, male, female, young, old, it doesn't seem to matter. Anybody can win that thing.
That's true, because you have females that play softball, have good arms on them, you know.
Yeah.
And who basketball.
Know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, apparently Abby's nose is still out of joint. She's not here today.
Well, sorry, Abby.
Yeah, we're sorry to hear that your nose is still out of joint, but we hope that one day your nose gets back in joint and we can get on with this thing.
Yes.
You know, speaking of that, it's never good to hold a grudge.
No.
You know, I think that will do more damage to you than somebody else.
That's what they say. You know, even forgiveness is better for you if you forgive someone else.
Now, I think it's good to forgive. I don't think it's good to forget.
Well, if you constantly think about it, then it's hard to forgive. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's easier when I go ahead and forgive. It's not totally gone. I mean, it's there, but it's not as constant.
Well, like, if you forgive somebody for doing a wrong to you, you don't necessarily have to let them back in your life so they'll do it again.
Oh, no, you do not.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't forget.
No.
But you forgive.
Right. That doesn't mean we got to party together, dance together, eat together.
Right, because you did a wrong at some point that clearly caused some damage.
And distrust.
Right. But now, see, do you have to forgive that?
Well, they say you don't have to. That's what some people say. But the Lord says he has given us the ability to forgive.
Well, forgiveness is...
would be a choice.
Forgiveness is definitely the better route to go, but you certainly can't... you can't force yourself to forget.
You know, I've forgiven some people over some things, and I've asked people to forgive me, you know, about some things I may have said, or I may have held a grudge about some things that I didn't like, that I thought that they did against me, right? And I did this not too long ago. I told a girl, you know, I did have a problem with her.
Oh, you just told her about it?
Oh, yeah.
Now, did she know that you had a problem? Oh, she knew it.
No, she didn't know I had this problem.
Oh, she didn't know about it.
She knew why.
Now she knows.
Oh, yeah. She knows I had a problem with some events that happened in our life.
But she didn't know that you were harboring that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she was surprised.
She said, I got over that a long time ago, but I didn't.
So when you brought this up to her, what did she say?
I got over that a long time
ago.
But
I mean, were you able to get over it now?
Yes. Yes. I was over it when I approached her.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Because you told her about it, you got over it.
I got over it before I told her. So it was already in the makings. It's a process. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to leave this earth and die and harbor resentment within myself against anyone.
Right. But what if they don't forgive you?
They don't have to.
Well, see, that's right, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't have to. That's on them. At least I'm clear and free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's probably where we all should be. You know, now here's, do you forgive somebody just to forgive them so you can get it off your mind?
Sometimes that too.
Because you might not always mean the forgiveness.
Right, at the moment, sometimes you don't. It's something
you're just doing it.
Right.
Let's what do they call that?
Saving face.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, they don't want to cause any dust ups.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the peace.
Right. But just even saying those words starts the process of forgiveness. Because you've voiced them and they're out in the air, you know, and they start to work. That's what words do. They have power. So once you start making up your mind, this is what I'm going to do, right? And when you release this with your mouth, then it starts to take place and happen.
Well, we were talking about, I don't think we talked about it on the air. We were talking about the 12-year itch that people get in marriages.
Oh, we sure was.
Yeah, but you know, it is true that you want what you can't have.
Yeah, a lot of people do. You're so right.
So what happens is you get involved with somebody, and okay, you got that. Clearly you wanted it, or you wouldn't have went for it. But then, as soon as you got it, now you got it. So now what you don't got is what you want.
Right, and sometimes when you get it, you don't want it.
No, that's right, and then you go get something else, and you realize what you lost.
Right, right. Someone told me a long time ago, at least you know what you have, but you never know what you're going to get.
That's right. You think it's going to be all wonderful candy canes and lollipops, but it isn't always that way.
Yeah, sometimes you should just be satisfied with what you have because you know what you have.
I don't think as human beings we're wired to be content.
You know, I think you're right.
I think it'd be nice if we were.
Oh, make life so much easier.
Because we could settle down and we could say, well, you know, this person isn't exciting all the time, but they're exciting enough to where they're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
They treat me nice.
Right.
Isn't that, you know, I always think about that. If somebody treats you good, isn't that what you want?
That's exactly what you want.
Well, exactly what you want. But people, that's boring to people.
Oh, it's not.
They want, I don't know what they want. Flowers and bouquets and...
Well, you know, if a person is nice, I mean, they do things for you. They want to do things for you. But you have to be able to receive a person like that, you know. Otherwise, they may not be that nice to you much longer.
Doesn't it come down to the old adage, though, if you haven't loved yourself, if you can't figure yourself out, how is somebody else supposed to deal with you?
That's so true.
I've always felt that was the case. If there's something wrong with you internally, you can put on a show all you want, but it'll there's always going to be something.
It's going to show up. You can't hide forever.
It's no. Show up. No, and people know when something's wrong. They can tell, but they're not dumb.
True.
I always tell people when they're lying to me. Now, I have come, this is my learning tree in life.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that I know people are flat out lying to me. But I know that if I say, hey, listen, you're lying to me, they're going to get angry. And they're going to try to explain to me why they aren't lying to me.
Right.
So I have learned, okay, you lied to me. If you think you're getting it over on me, that's fine. But I do know what's going on. I'm just not going to take the time to pick that battle.
Right, right.
I'm not going to pick that fight because it just takes too much time.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I used to tell people, tell me anything. My head screws on and off.
Right, exactly.
That means I don't believe anything you're saying.
Right, right, right. But I don't necessarily have to tell you you're a liar.
True.
But just know that I'm not that naive.
Right.
I do see what's going on.
Right, right.
Some people think they're pulling stuff off.
Yes, they do.
They think they got it and nobody's wiser to them.
Right.
But they're not. You're very transparent in a lot of ways in your daily life.
Yes.
I wish more people understood that.
Yeah, that would be a brainstorm.
Why do you think so many people are unhappy?
They don't have what they want. And like you said, when they get it, then they don't want it. You know, and I think they look for the wrong things and want the wrong things. Some people, they covet what other people have, right? But they don't know what that person went through to get where they are and be with the people that they're with. We don't know the struggles that people have gone through, you know. But then some people can just insert themselves in your life, you know, and they become jealous of you. So they try to mock you and do the things you do, have the things that you have, say the things that you say, you know. But that's not them. Be yourself. They say be true to yourself.
Well, money is the one I don't understand.
Oh.
Because, you know what? Listen, yes, you've got to have money to live. You got to have money to eat. I get it. I'm not saying that's not true. But what I'm saying is if your life is ruined because you are constantly stressed out about money problems, that's going to be a problem because if I'm at home at night worrying about money problems, there's nothing I can do.
No.
I can't do anything about that. So why not try to spend the time that I don't have worrying about money problems doing something proactive?
Right.
Because mood is a big part of our lives.
Yes, it is.
You know, you can have money. Some of the happiest people I know are some of the poorest. Because they don't let that weigh them down.
Right.
Yes, they have money problems. Yes, they might be late on their rent. Yes, they might not have enough food. But their personality is wired to be, okay, make a joke of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's best.
Yes.
Why let that dictate your happiness?
You're right. I think people that are possibly what we would consider the lowest are sometimes the happiest.
Dick Gregory, legendary comedian, used to have some jokes about being poor.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so smart when you really think about it. And he's basically talking about making fun of being how you get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember he used to say his brother-in-law called him up in such a panic and said, oh, they're coming to repo my car. And he said, I told him, don't park it in front of the house. And when you think about it, that makes sense.
Right.
And he told, oh, the one that I love that he told, he said, oh, my wife, she was so panicked. One day a letter came from Sears, and it said, final notice, final notice. And he came home, and she said, Dick, final notice, final notice. And he said, thank God we won't be hearing from them anymore. And that's the comedy
right,
of it.
Right, right. Yeah.
And, you know, he used to say things like, they're going to come get the washer and the dryer. Mm-hmm. And he says, they knew that I didn't have the money to pay for this when they gave it to me.
I've been there before. And said
right.
Those words, yeah.
So, I mean, that's it. Mm-hmm. Why worry?
Right. It doesn't change anything.
No, I mean, he had some really funny lines about that. And it's taking a tragic situation and making it funny.
Making light of it, yes.
Well, I remember a joke he told one time about he owed a credit card bill to Neiman Marcus for 36 years.
Mm.
And he said somebody called up and said, when can I expect a payment from you? And he said, I've owed this bill for 36 years. I've owed this bill since before you were born. What makes you think you're going to collect it in your lifetime? You know, and that's how we should look at it.
Yes, that's true. That's true. He had no intentions of paying it.
No, but he wasn't doing it to be malicious.
Right.
He was just taking a bad situation and making it better.
Yes, 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 yes. Wow. But I thought he was, he did fairly well in life, didn't he?
I think he did eventually. But I think he's talking about the early days.
Yeah, when he started
when
out.
The money wasn't coming in.
Yeah.
And if we just looked at it that way, mm-hmm. if we lost everything, you know, here's what I always think. Think about your health.
Yes.
Now, put your health up against money. Now, think if tomorrow they told you you had 6 months to live. I bet your main thought would not be financial.
True.
So why, when we are healthy, when that's all you want is your health, do we worry about finances?
Money. Money answers all things, according to the Bible.
I mean, you've talked about your illness. When you were ill, were you worried about the bills?
No.
Exactly.
About my
pile up.
Last thing on my mind.
Right.
You know?
Right. And but people don't look at it that way.
I was like, come on now. I want to live.
Yeah.
Get money.
Well, this is the thing I've never understood. You know, I always say I want to be resuscitated because I don't understand the logic of non-resuscitation.
Okay.
Because they will tell you. We don't want to resuscitate that person because we might break their ribs, right?
Right.
And
I know that, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I say, if I'm dead, I'm not going to know I have broken ribs. if my ribs are broken, that means I survived. So why don't you do this?
Wow.
I really don't understand, because they will say, we don't want to do CPR
right.
on everybody because we might break their ribs. Dead people don't have broken ribs. If you have broken ribs, it means you live.
And so nor can they feel it, right?
Right. So why don't you try to break my ribs and let's see if I come back?
Right, right. I feel you on that one, yes.
If anybody can explain, I've always wondered that. Because that's what they'll tell you about CPR. Do you want to be resuscitated? It might break your ribs. Well, break them. Clearly something else is wrong with me. I'm not worried about my ribs at this point.
Especially if I have a chance to come back and live, you know.
Right, and if you try and you do break them and I die, it doesn't really make much difference.
It doesn't matter.
Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
No, it doesn't matter.
Like you want that chiseled on your tombstone. I could have lived but for the broken ribs.
So they chose not to
give life. I chose not to do it. You might have broken a rib, so I decided to give my whole life in.
Whoa. That is something.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes, it is.
But that people believe that logic. They go, well, oh man, I don't know if I want old mom to go through that.
Right.
Go through what?
She can't feel it anyway.
She can't. if the woman is, what we're talking about here is the woman's having a heart attack, the woman's having a stroke, the woman's having an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's already some trouble. What does a couple broken ribs have to do with this?
Nothing, but a chance for her to possibly recover.
Well, I always said, think about this if you make this decision for your, let's say mom is sick.
Right.
Do you want to, it'll break her ribs. Okay, I don't want to put her through that. Okay. Well, let's say mom's now having a heart attack.
Right.
Well, you don't die instantly.
That's true.
So mom's having a heart attack. You're not there. She's in the hospital or nursing home or wherever she is. Mm-hmm. Mom's having a heart attack and nobody's helping her because you've told them don't resuscitate.
Right, right.
Boy, that's the last thought. I think that's more painful than some broken ribs.
You know, I didn't realize that's why a lot of people did not want resuscitation. I thought everyone wanted resuscitation that wanted a chance to live.
Oh, no. They will tell you, they try to talk you out of resuscitation.
Okay, or just
especially if you're
die.
Older. Yeah. If you're older.
Yeah, just let me die if I'm at this state.
Because
right?
This person's, 85, 95 years old, we might break their ribs. Well, la-dee-da.
Does that puncture your lungs or your heart or anything like that when your ribs are broken?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But clearly, if they're doing it, it means something's going wrong with you anyways.
True. So true. Mm.
I just can't imagine laying in a bed, having a heart attack, watching people look at me die. Now, that's tragedy.
That is tragedy.
So I always say, I'm the big R. Resuscitate.
Help me.
Yeah.
Whether you can talk or not, you're looking at them like frantically. Help me.
And they come in and they try to calm you. It's going to be okay.
Help me.
Yeah, have you ever seen this, though, where they come in and they grab your hand and they go, it's going to be okay. No, they know you're dying.
Right.
It's not going to be okay. And they know that.
So I'm about to leave here. Help me, right?
It's going
to
be okay for you. You're going to go down and get a Twix bar later on. I'm dying. Oh, here we go.
Right.
Clearly somebody's resuscitated.
Yes, on their way.
Anybody have any thoughts on this? Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. We better figure out if Santa Claus is a big R resuscitation, because the way Adam throws fruitcakes, he could have been taken out last year.
So they knocked him out, right?
Knocked him out, and we would have had to get the big R for Santa Claus, resuscitation.
Oh, my.
Things like that puzzle me. When I'm a curious person, and when that's your logic, I'm confused.
Yeah, that's true. Give me every opportunity.
Yeah, now if we're talking about life support, now that's something different.
True.
Now if they come in the room and say, well, they have no brain activity, okay. But that's not resuscitation.
No, it's not. No.
Resuscitation is save you. That's what the word means.
Yes, right.
So I don't get, why would somebody don't try to resuscitate me? And I often wonder people who make that decision when they're actually having the heart attack or the stroke, is it too late to rethink it then?
I don't know. You wouldn't think not. I guess if you wait too late and no one's in the room to do it, and you could just slip away.
Well, that's it. I always said, because people will give you weird logic.
Yes.
They'll say, well, what if they go in their sleep? And I'll say, well, then they go in their sleep. If they're going in their sleep, they're not going to hit a panic button.
Right.
So there is going to be no resuscitation.
Right.
We're talking about somebody's going to have to be complaining for there to even be an option for resuscitation.
Right.
Why do we have things like the Heimlich maneuver and resuscitation if we're not going to use it?
Right, that's true. That's
CPR. True. I don't know, that's just my opinion. If anybody else, I can't believe Sarah has not weighed in on this one. I would have thought she'd have been all over this one. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you. It's a fascinating conversation. I always say, when they put people on hospice.
Yes.
Now, see, if I were going to go on hospice, I'd want one last trip to the emergency room to make sure that you can't fix what I got going on.
Make sure.
Yeah, make sure. Now, if you
Very
tell me
sure.
we can't do anything for you, okay, I got it. But you know, sometimes
they still don't have the last word, because you can still call for people to pray for you.
Exactly.
And God may say differently.
Well, and that's the thing. I have known people in homes that they'll get sick. Now, a home is not a hospital. Nursing home is not a hospital. Because they're old, they'll come and say, well, they're not doing very well. Do you want to bring in the hospice? And I think, now, don't you want to see a doctor first? I mean, if the doctor says, okay, well, there's nothing we can do, okay.
Right.
Put them on it. But don't we want to consult somebody in the medical profession first?
Should.
Because hospice is a little, you know, thank God they're there for people who need it.
Yes.
But, you know, it's the last bit.
It is. You're out.
You're out.
And that's the whole purpose of hospice coming in, you know. And we had a hospice for my mother when she was dying. And some of the things that they told us, she died way before they said she was going to live longer, and she didn't, you know. So we're like, well, what good was hospice? It really wasn't any good at that time, you know.
Well, and now if the person wants that, okay, then I'm okay with it. Or if you have appointed somebody, your power of attorney, and they make that decision, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the other cases, I don't know.
I don't either. I know my neighbor said she took her mother out of hospice.
Now, did she give a reason?
Well, her mother's not dead.
Oh, and she was in hospice
over a year.
Was she ill?
She was ill.
And she pulled her out?
She's doing better.
Well, isn't that strange?
Yes. Yes. Doing better.
But I will say a lot of people go into hospice just because they've had enough of life. My grandmother, not the one that used to come around the station, but my father's mother, she got disillusioned, I think, with life. She got very old, and, well, all her kids had died, and her husband had died. And she was getting on in years.
Right.
And the final straw for her was the last year of her life. She ended up getting some kind of infection, and she had to go to the hospital, and they did clear up the infection. But she was off her feet, and because of her age, she wasn't really walking too well anymore.
Okay.
So when she got another infection, she said, I'm not going back to the hospital. She said, just... She made the decision.
She was finished with living.
Yeah.
She had enough.
It took a while, though. I mean, it took a couple months that she was on hospice. But she just did not want to go on.
She didn't want to live anymore.
I think she just had it with life.
Yeah, that happens with people.
Yeah.
Had enough. I'm ready to leave. And they go.
And see, that's the other flip side of this. We've made light of the resuscitation. But, you know, there does come a time to leave.
Yes. People get tired.
I always say when the train gets to the last stop, get off.
Yes, yes. And they do. I believe the Lord doesn't allow them to just lay around and stay here when they have given up on life itself.
Well, and I don't know of anybody who ever was, taken out prematurely. You know, I think they lived their life, and they were done, and that was that.
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
I mean, it's just the way
possible.
It goes.
Yes. Life is, and death is, such a thin line between those two, and hard to understand. It's really hard to understand death.
I think it's the biggest mystery and hardest thing to deal with
it
in
is.
Life.
It is. And that's why, you know, some people, there's a fear of death, you know. I used to have that fear. I don't want to die. You know, growing up as a child and going to funerals and stuff and, you know, looking at people crying and all that, you know. And then as you get older, your friends may start dying and things like that. And it's like, I don't want to die, you know. Then you come to a point where when you become in Christ and you realize that really that's why you came to die, you know, just as he did. He came to die for our sins, and we came to glorify him, and then our time is cut off. You know, we leave here. Our life is like a vapor. So you have to come to a realization and accept these things. But it's still a mystery. Well, what happens when I'm gone? When I'm gone.
Exactly.
Where are you going to be?
Well, see, this is why I don't like it when you hear of these doctors telling people, well, you got 6 months left, or you got a year left. I always say, you know, and you got to be straight up with these doctors. Because, see, here, if somebody ever came to me and said you got 6 months left to live, I'd say, well, that's interesting because you've got about 10 minutes because I'm going to hang you out that window over there. Because don't tell me that. You know? I mean, you could be gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you told me that.
Right.
And what am I going to worry about?
Right.
6 months. It'll take 6 months to get the trial going to put me in prison. I'll be gone.
And that does happen. I've seen people outlive people that have said, well, so-and-so is going to die. They're not going to make it. And I've seen those people leave before them.
Right, and it's bad.
Yes.
I think doctors should not be in that business.
Oh.
You can tell people what the situation is.
Right.
You're very sick.
Right.
You know, limit your activity.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. There's no more I can do for you. That's fine.
Right.
But don't start, yo, you got 6 minutes. Well, or you've got about 4 minutes because you're going out before I am.
Right, and they gave me 2 years to live in 2001.
Yeah. You know, there was remember old Katharine Hepburn?
Yes.
Oh, I remember one time Barbara Walters was talking to her and interviewing her.
Uh-huh.
And Barbara Walters said, do you own a dress? Because Katharine Hepburn was always famous for wearing pants.
Okay.
And she said, well, I have a black one. I'll wear it at your funeral. And, you know, I think that was her saying, you know, don't knock me.
Right, right. But still, she's gone.
And now Katharine Hepburn's gone, so.
No, and been gone for quite a while.
Yeah, but she, I think she lived in 96 or so.
Katharine Hepburn?
I believe so.
96?
96.
Wow.
Angela Lansbury this week at 96.
She died.
Yeah.
Okay, I did see that.
But what a good actress she was.
Oh, yeah. She played in Samson and Delilah.
Oh, she was
back there.
Well, she was Murder, She Wrote.
Yes. Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Mrs. Potts.
Yes.
She was a good actress.
Yes, she was. And lasted a long time.
She had that Cockney accent.
Mm-hmm.
Very good actress.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you want to enter somebody in the fruitcake toss, it will be December the 8th, Thursday, December the 8th at 7:15 p.m. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, it's approaching your last chance. We've only got 8 minutes left to go. And this has been a fun conversation this hour about the foibles and funny things in life.
Yes.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, Angie and I should be on tonight from 8 to 10, so that'll be enjoyable. But a lot of people are even afraid to talk about death.
I know.
It's a taboo.
It's an omen. You know, some people think it's even an omen, so I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want it to happen to me or someone that I know, right?
Right, right, right. But, you know, we really are funny in a way because we feel bad for the dead people. Well, they don't know they're dead.
No. And I guess it depends on how they leave also. Because, you know, tragically, people that go to die in their sleep, you don't feel too bad for them. That's kind of the way everybody wants to leave this world. But, you know, to be in a car crash or a plane crash or a building blowing up on you or something like that, or you falling down in this deep pitted hole and can't get out, you know, and die like that. Yeah. And you can say, well, oh, they died a terrible death. And you do kind of feel empathy for that person, you know. Then you think about their loved ones. Those are the ones that really feel bad.
Well, that's the worry, the loved ones, because I don't think the people who are dead are aware they're dead.
No.
So they don't care. I mean, even if they do die tragically, they don't know it.
No, they don't. They have no idea. And you know, I believe there people have signs that they are going to die.
Like, what would be a sign?
Maybe a dream.
Oh.
Maybe an omen. I don't think God surprises us with anything.
Yeah, you know, there are people who have a worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's weird you mentioned that, because I knew a woman one time who was not in bad health at all. She was on in years, but not in bad health. And she was not a very emotional woman at all. And one night, she called me. crying.
Really?
Crying. And I said, well, what's wrong with you? And she said, I just, I'm old. And and she was really worried about her age. And I'd never heard this before.
Wow.
I mean, it was, and she kept talking about, I remember her in this conversation saying, I'm not ready to leave my family. I don't want to leave my family.
Wow.
And what, you're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was living alone. She was driving. There was nothing wrong with her. Nothing. And I thought, gosh, what is wrong? Crying, tears on the phone.
Yes.
And I thought, okay. Well, she calmed down.
Yes.
2 weeks later, she died.
Really?
Totally unexpectedly.
Yeah.
She just collapsed.
Right. But she wasn't. She knew. She saw.
She never brought it up again. Just that night. And then 2 weeks, didn't hear a word about it. And then all of a sudden, she was gone.
That's what I believe God shows you when it's your time, when you're going to leave.
Well, see, that. But I guess in her case, it was frightening.
It could be. Death is frightening. It's the unknown.
Well, see, then I don't want to know. I'd rather not know.
You don't want to know.
No,
right?
No. That's just another thing to worry about.
And maybe she accepted it.
Maybe after a while, but I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that conversation. Because here I am thinking, geez, what's wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
And then after she died, I thought, what in the world?
Right. I know when my brother got killed, and at his funeral, the preacher was saying that he had saw my brother, and my brother had said, I need to talk to you. I need to get into church. And this was possibly a month or so before he died.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
And you know, I remember about her as well. She was having weird things happen. Like, I remember she told, and she's a sane woman.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I was laying on the couch and I heard your mother's voice.
Yeah, that was another omen. Yep.
I thought, what? And then she said, I was laying on the couch and I saw kids playing on the floor.
Hmm.
And these weird things were happening. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, what in the world is going on?
Wow.
And that was like a month. It was a month, I would imagine, that happened. You know, she got this terrible feeling that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then was seeing things and was hearing voices. But yet still going on with her regular life.
Yeah.
You know? And then, bam.
Gone.
And it was that quick.
Right.
I mean, I was with her when she died. She was fine that day. Fine. Totally fine. And then she just, within 10 minutes, she was gone. Very odd.
Just took her breath away.
Yeah, she, I remember she said to me, she said, Scott, I'm having trouble breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very calm.
Right.
And I said, let's call an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to another person who was in the house, and I said, you need to call an ambulance.
Right.
She walked into the kitchen, sat down, and she's sitting in a kitchen chair, not really panicked or anything, and she says, I think I'm going to faint. She said, and I said, well, let's get you on the floor. I don't want you to fall out of the chair.
Right.
So we helped her to the floor, and she just passed out.
Mm-hmm.
And when the emergency squad got there, they said that she was gone.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And she had been fine until that until she said, I'm having trouble breathing. That was it.
Wasn't even sick.
No, not at all. She'd been out to the dinner that day, a couple stores.
Now, how old was she?
I think just about 80.
80, okay.
She'd been fine.
Which isn't a bad life span.
No, I don't think there was any regret. I think it was just, you know who had hurt were the people, because when somebody is not ill,
right,
and they drop off like that,
mm-hmm.
Now that will shock your system.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what happened.
Yes. It happened to a young lady at a church here in Marion, Ohio, at King's Temple. She was up leading testimony service and everything. And
just went down.
Well, she walked away from the pulpit and collapsed.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
never know.
You never know. This has been interesting.
Yes.
This is fascinating for anybody who's been out there listening. Now, remember, you can listen tonight, 8 to 10. Angie and I will be on having a good time. And Linda will be back next week, of course, on Wednesday and Thursday, and then back with me on Friday. And maybe we'll have old Abby with her nose out of joint.
Come back, Abby.
Come back, Abby. We'll solve this whole thing and more.
Gotta
on the Fruitcake Dust. Scott Spears for Linda Sims, heading for the dugout.
WGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do. Just